Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I can't go on one more second without sending a lot of gratitude over to Don Newsom, Doug Newsom, and Seth Hendrick at BBS Radio for providing us with this wonderful platform to raise consciousness. I have tonight one of my favorite people, and maybe one of your favorite people, too. I'm guessing that is probably so. His name is Gary Renard, and Gary is a best-selling author of The Disappearance of the Universe and Your Immortal Reality. And he was born in the historic North Shore of Massachusetts. He became a successful professional guitar player, but during the harmonic convergence of 1987, he heard a calling that began to take his life in a different direction. At the beginning of the 90s, he moved to Maine, where he underwent a powerful spiritual awakening. As instructed, he slowly and carefully wrote Disappearance over a period of 9 years. In the fall of 2003, after much encouragement from other speakers and students, Gary began to present talks and workshops in public. His speaking career took off remarkably fast, and today he lectures internationally. Combining a disarming sense of humor with radical cutting-edge metaphysical information and experiential exercises, Gary has been described as one of the most interesting and courageous spiritual speakers in the world. He's actually referred to as a spiritual bad boy, as a matter of fact. And over the past 5 years, he's spoken in 41 states and 13 countries and was a keynote speaker at the International Course in Miracles Conference in Salt Lake City and San Francisco. He's also the most recent recipient of the Infinity Foundation Spirit Award, and this award is given to a person who has made a meaningful contribution to personal and spiritual growth. Past recipients include Dan Millman, Ram Dass, Gary Zukav, James Redfield, and Neil Donald Walsh. And you can find Gary Renard's website at www.garyrenard.com. That's GaryRenard.com. And without further ado, I'd like to bring on Gary Renard. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Kate. How you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you.
Oh, that's great. It's great to be back on your show.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on the show. I just love that you're in Southern California, and I'm just wondering, do you travel out of Southern California very often to go do speaking engagements, or do you find things to do to keep you busy here?
I fly out here to do a speaking engagement pretty much every week of the year.
Wow.
I probably fly about over 100,000 miles a year.
My goodness.
For example, I just got back from Texas, Austin, which is a really cool town.
Yes.
And I'll be heading for Scottsdale day after tomorrow. And I keep pretty busy. We're doing a cruise in a couple of weeks to the Caribbean where I actually get to teach on the cruise, which is a lot of fun.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah, there's always something different going on, but I try to stay home, hopefully 3 days a week, so I can at least experience living here in Southern California. And I think it's appropriate that your show is called Spiritual Hollywood because I've found a lot of spirituality since I moved out here. And
yeah.
I live right near Hollywood in Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a few months ago, I was invited to go to the world premiere of this movie that had kind of a funny title, and nobody had heard of it. It was called Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, right.
And, and I saw, that is so great. And it has such a hopeful and, uplifting message to it. And I said at the time, I wouldn't be surprised if it won Best Picture of the Year because I wrote a review of it. That we have this online discussion group that talks about my books and has thousands of members and people, just talk about the books and A Course in Miracles, which is the major, teaching that they're based upon.
Right.
And I said at the time, I wouldn't be surprised if this movie won the Best Picture of the Year award.
And,
practically nobody had heard of it at the time, and sure enough, it did win the Best Picture of the Year award, and of course, it won 8 Oscars.
Right.
And, for people who haven't seen it, I just say, wow, it's a wonderful film. I mean, you just go.
Yeah. It's hard to watch, and it's good to watch.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunately kind of like what life is like in India.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some people who didn't like the way that their country was portrayed. But, for most of the accounts that I've, heard of people who've gone there, it's a pretty accurate film. And, of course, there are all kinds of films that you could call spiritual. In fact, I can tell you a quick story, if I may.
Please.
The very first night that I moved out here to Hollywood, Mm-hmm. This was almost 2 years ago. I was June of 2007. Now, the very first night I got invited to go to this house in Laurel Canyon, and there were these people there doing this thing called the Diksha, or the, you know.
Yes, I know all about that.
Yeah, the oneness blessing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything's connected, and there's no such thing as an accident, and those who are to meet shall meet. And usually if you meet somebody, you find that you end up meeting them again.
Mm-hmm.
So this person was there doing this oneness blessing, and, you know, they kind of like go around from person to person, put their hands on their heads, and give them a blessing, and kind of like, you know, there's this back and forth thing of energy going on, which is pretty interesting.
Yes.
And one of the people who did it for me was this, you know, famous actress named Mariel Hemingway.
Right.
Now, it turns out that not only did I meet her the first night that I was here, living here, but now here we are, we're going to be interviewed together. And what we're going to talk about in this interview together is spiritual movies.
Mm, good.
I just think it's so connected to the fact that your show is called Spiritual Hollywood, and I really think that there's a lot more spirituality, you know, coming out of Hollywood than there used
yes,
to be.
Yes, there is.
It just seems to me that how it's all connected is really, you know, really interesting. And I'm working on different avenues of expression when it comes to spirituality, including a potential TV series. And
great.
You know, it just all seems to fit together, and you end up meeting people, and that leads to more meetings. And
mm-hmm.
It's really just interesting how it's all connected.
And, right, and one thing I wanted to talk to you about tonight, Gary, is the wonderful film called Leap, L-E-A-P.
Yep.
And I watched this the other night, and I've come to know Isaac Allen, and he'll be on Spiritual Hollywood on April 7th. And
right.
This is a lovely movie, and you did such a great job in it, and you stand out. There is no one like you on this planet, and you are your own universe, and it was really a pleasure to see all of the people in this movie, and to see that these kinds of films are being put together all over the place and making such a difference, and bless The Secret for being the one that sort of shepherded it all into being so that many, many more would follow, and get these wonderful visionaries and leaders to speak about what their core values are and their strongest beliefs and what drives them and little bits and pieces of their background and how they've come from many times hardships to a spiritual enlightenment and awakening, unlike all of us. I mean, you had a very interesting situation happen to you. Back when you had that visitation that started you writing the book, The Disappearance of the Universe.
Right.
And to have people getting together collectively, making movies like this just really, really makes me happy. And, Spiritual Hollywood is a radio show that wants to promote films like that and do anything that I can to bring people together to start making films like that and to keep making films like that. And I'm noticing that even on billboards on Sunset Boulevard, there's messages of higher thinking seeping into the advertising. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's interesting. You see it on the billboards. You see it on television. You see it more and more in movies. The movie Leap, it's just called Leap the Movie. For
mm-hmm.
those who don't know, it has a very strong group of people, not just me, but I appreciate you mentioning my part in it, and it also has, like, you know, Dan Millman, who wrote The Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And Peaceful Warrior is an excellent film, which starred Nick Nolte. And, you know, anybody who hasn't seen that, I definitely recommend that one.
Were you at the premiere for Peaceful Warrior?
No, I wasn't out here yet, so I didn't really know anybody here. And then it seemed like about a year before I moved here,
yep.
all of a sudden I started meeting people from this area. They weren't mm-hmm. in this area at the time. Like, I would do a workshop in Hawaii, and I would meet, like, three different people that all live, like, within a block of each other, and they didn't even know each other. And so,
yeah.
And,
that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it's like I started making friends here, and they had a lot of people in the movie business, in the television business, who happened to read my book, and were you know, people who were really affected by the disappearance of the universe. And so they wanted to meet me, and we got to talking. And as I said, it's all connected, and one thing leads to another. And one of them was this movie Leap. Now, the thing I like about it is that it has a uniform message to it. You don't have all these people talking about, you know, 24 different things, just giving a different point of view. The guys that made the movie, Chad, and you mentioned Isaac, who's going to be on your show, they're a couple of comparatively young guys. And they're real, you know, real exciting guys, and they made an exciting movie. I think it's a movie that's exciting to watch. It's not boring. There's always something interesting being said or being shown. And the whole idea is, you know, what is reality? You know, do we really know what reality is, or is it totally made up? Is it totally subjective? And I think the answer is yes. But the thing is, in my books, what we do is we replace that with something else. I don't think it's a good idea to leave people hanging and just say that the world is an illusion, because that doesn't really get them anywhere.
No.
I think that what a great spiritual teaching, like A Course in Miracles does, is it completely replaces the thought system of what we'll call the ego. It completely replaces that thought system of illusion with the thought system of reality, which ultimately is our true reality, which is nothing different than God. So it's like what we really are is the same as God, but we're having this false experience of separation from God, of separation from our source. And, you know, the people that are in the movie who, you know physics really well would say pretty much the same thing. They would say that you're a non-spatial being having a spatial experience. So it's like you're actually everywhere and every time. There's nowhere where you're not. But then we have this false experience that tells us that we're separate from the whole and that we're not the whole. And I think the thing to do in our experience is to return to the experience of reality, where we understand what we really are and where we really are, which ultimately is nothing less than God. Now, it may sound arrogant to people to say, oh, I'm God. But actually, what's really arrogant, I think, is to think that you could be separate from God and think that you could be separate from your source and somehow different from your source. It's like, you know, you can't really separate yourself from your source ever or be different from your source. And the only thing that needs to be done is to undo the ego. And if you undid the ego, then eventually the experience of the real you would be all that's left. So I think that's the great kind of like teaching that you find in things like Buddhism. And also, A Course in Miracles, it's the undoing of the ego. And the beauty of that is that you don't have to struggle to be what you really are. You're already perfect. You're already the same as God. You don't have to struggle to be that. All you have to do is undo the part of you that is not that. And by the time you do that, then that experience of your perfection and that experience of your oneness with God will be all that's left. So it's really a beautiful approach. And the thing I like about the movie Leap is that it really asks a lot of legitimate questions about the nature of reality, what's real, and if this isn't real, if our everyday experience isn't real, then what is? And the one thing I'd like the most about A Course in Miracles, and I think this makes it a little different than other things, is that you can have your life. It's like you don't have to give up anything. You know, you don't have to change anything. It's not a religion. You know, you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to proselyte for it. What it really is a self-study course. You know, it's something that's done between you and the Holy Spirit, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. The voice of the course is obviously Jesus, but you could also think of it as being the Holy Spirit. And they'd be one and the same right now anyway. And and what it really does, it kind of like allows you to go at your own pace, and you know, some people will be able to you know, get through it pretty fast, but most people can't. It's a process. It's this process of undoing the ego, which makes it very interesting. It's a gradual experience, and you get to live your life. You get to have a normal life. You know, it's not about moving off and meditating on a mountaintop in you know, Tibet for 20 years. You can find enlightenment in the everyday things that are right there in front of your face. It's just a matter of changing the way that you look at them. And by changing your perception of what you're looking at, you can undo the ego, and you can attain actual fearlessness and enlightenment. So it's a great thing because not only is it a self-study course, but you can do it in your everyday life without changing anything except the way that you think, the way that you look at things.
So it's, and it's non-judgmental, and it doesn't mean you have to stop drinking wine or going dancing or living your life at all. It just introduces you to yourself.
Well, that is so true because, you know, a lot of people, they kind of like wire up spirituality to mean you're not supposed to have a good time.
Yeah.
they think that it's about suffering and sacrifice. And a lot of that is because of the, you know, the puritanical, you know, kind of like conservative Christianity that
was
spoon-fed most of our lives.
Yes.
It tells us that Jesus sacrificed himself and died for our sins.
And I think martyrdom is overrated. And if you could hold that thought, Gary, I believe we have a caller. Hello?
Sure.
Do we have a caller?
Hi, Gary. It's Isaac and Chad. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Isaac and Chad. Wow.
Hi. Wow. Look who's calling. It's the filmmakers of the movie Leap, Isaac and Chad.
Yeah. We also call them the Leap Guys.
The Leap Guys. And you know what? I was watching this movie, and Chad and Isaac look like they could be absolute brothers.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In certain ways, we are. We don't want to steal much of Gary's thunder, but we have nothing but love for Gary, so we thought we'd call in and just say hi.
We love that you did that, and I'm sure Gary loves that too, don't you, Gary?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. The three of us met in Denver. I go there every year to do a workshop, and whenever I get out there, we try to get together and do some filming, and, you know, they're just a great couple of guys, really good friends, and they've made friends with so many people in the spiritual community that they're becoming, you know, like really well-known, and I think they deserve it.
That's wonderful. And I want to ask you, Chad and Isaac, where did you get that fantastic puppet?
Oh, that's Puppet G. Dan Millman actually told us about him early on, and then he's got his own website, puppetg.com, and he's got all kinds of crazy skits out there, and he's just the non-dual puppet, and he's hilarious, and he's actually become a friend along the way, too, and he's just got great content, and he's funny, so we got him for the movie.
Hilarious! Oh, my gosh, he's so funny, and it's, you know, it's kind of an experiential thing. I don't even think I could describe it accurately to our listeners, but Puppet G is, he's very profound, and he's got his own website, puppetg.com, did you say?
Yep.
P-U-P-P-E-T-J-I. And the letter G.com?
It's J like Jack, Puppet G.
Oh, J. I see. Well, that was just a wonderful touch. Who thought of that?
We have to give it to Dan initially. We've got to pitch that. We've got to give that one to Dan Millman.
Yeah.
Don't get us wrong. Gary tells some funny jokes. We've got some funny jokes from Gary on video.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great. Right.
With him someday.
Wonderful. So Dan Millman was also on Spiritual Hollywood, and I went to the premiere of Spiritual Warrior, and Dan is an amazing person as well, just like all of the other leaders and visionaries you have in the movie Leap, which are just, there's so many. There's, I don't even know where to begin. How many do you have, like 24 people?
24, but we've condensed it down and there's 20. We wanted to give Gary more time, so we just had to cut some other people out.
I understand that completely.
But we have, you know, Gary's one of our key people. He heavily influenced Leap, and Robert Sheinfeld, Joe Vitale, Will Arntz, the guy that made What the Bleep, is in there, James Twyman.
Peter Russell on the science side of things.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. It's a nice balance, and I really, really enjoyed watching it. And when you guys are on April 7th, we'll be telling a lot more about how this came about, what was it that inspired you both, and how you attracted the teachers that you did end up having in the film. Because I believe that would be a very interesting story, because everything is about attraction and what you're vibrating, and you will attract an exact vibrational match back to you. So whatever you were thinking in your frame of mind at the time will be very interesting for our listeners to hear.
Absolutely. And, you know, one other thing we want to say before we jump off here is that Gary, on a business level, we're shooting a documentary about integrity in business, and Gary, you have been one of the most integrous people we have dealt with in the last 2.5 years on this journey. We have two other DVD products specifically about Gary, and it's all been done on a handshake. He is one of the most pleasurable people to do business with. So, Gary, again, I know we told you before, but we really enjoy doing business with you.
Well, hey, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that. And I could say the same thing about you guys, so the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, Kate, let me give you one example of how Gary does business. Our bookkeeper sent him this itemized detail list about, you know, this is the cost of this and this and this, and this is how we broke it all down. And he responded back and said, I don't need all that information. Just send me the check. And so now we just send him a check.
Because we have
that's wonderful.
One another. It's been incredible, Gary, and we love you for everything, and, boy, we really love you for that, too.
We constantly refer back to the what we call the Gary situation, and we're like, dang, why can't everyone in our life be just as nice and pleasant and easy to deal with as Gary?
Contrast.
Yep. Yes.
You need contrast.
It was great checking in with you guys.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to having you on April 7th as our guest.
All right, we'll see you then, Kate. Have a great night, Gary.
Thanks for calling.
Guys. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk
Bye.
To you.
You know, what I heard them say about you, Gary, is my experience of you as well. I mean, to be a guest on my radio show, you've been so accessible and engaging, and you just love to say yes to people, and that's a beautiful thing because there have been others who, you know, have just gotten a little bit of fame who are like, oh, no, I can't possibly make time to do a radio show anymore. So I want to thank you for your availability and for remembering who you really are and for being a role model for all of us.
Thanks, Kate. I really appreciate that. And that was really great of Chad and Isaac to come on. And, yeah, I think that, the four of us who are on the phone, and I think that you're the same as us. You're very easy, you know, to get along with. And I think that that's really a sign of spiritual advancement, that you don't have, you know, a lot of resistance to things
mm-hmm.
in the
yeah.
world. You just kind of like go with the flow. And it's not so much about making things happen. It's more about letting things happen.
Yes.
You know, and really, your responsibility, my responsibility is in the way that we look at things, not so much in, what happens, because, what happens, that's what's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have a favorable influence on things like that if you do practice forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You could even change dimensions of time. You could even switch to a different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about movies. Well, sometimes when you rent a movie, you notice that they let you watch an alternate ending.
Mm-hmm.
To the movie. And it's not that that ending hasn't already been filmed. It has. But it's actually possible to watch a different outcome. And that's the way that the world is, and that's the way that our lives are also. It's like A Course in Miracles says in the first 15 Miracles principles, it says the miracle, which is forgiveness, works in all the all the dimensions of time. And that's a pretty interesting statement, because it's saying that this isn't the only dimension of time that's going on. And depending on how you look at it, whether or not you practice a certain kind of forgiveness, which would be coming from a position of cause and not effect,
mm-hmm.
because certainly one of the things that great masters like Buddha and Jesus knew was that the world was not being done to them, it was being done by them,
mm-hmm.
which means that they weren't victims. So they would not look at things the same way as other people. They would look at it as coming from them instead of coming at them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you switch to looking at things that way, you can accelerate your spiritual progress. Of Course in Miracles says it can save you thousands of years in the process of your spiritual development. So
yes.
Obviously it's talking about saving countless lifetimes, you know,
mm-hmm.
on your way home by changing
mm-hmm.
the way that you look at things. And a lot of the people that I've had the privilege of meeting the last, it's been like 6 years now since my first book came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have a third one out later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's this group of people that have known each other before. And I think that it's possible, even likely, that people like Chad and Isaac and you and I, we've met before.
Yeah.
You know, the great writer Emerson, he once said, if we are related, we shall meet. And I think that that's true. And
I agree. Yes, I agree with you completely. And I also have a theory that we incarnate in soul groups, and we keep incarnating in the same soul groups over and over and over again to help one another gain the wisdom that we came here this next time to gain. And, you know, there are those that I keep meeting who I feel like they're more my sibling than my actual family that I was born into. And it's just uncanny, the feeling of family that I have with so many people. And I'm really growing to feel that way about you too, Gary. And there's so many leaders and visionaries out there that I feel such kindred spirit with. And I believe that if, you know, if my theory holds water, that we do incarnate in soul groups and we are destined to meet again in each lifetime under some circumstance or the other that will help evolve humanity. I just really believe that that's true. And I don't know if you know this, but I also work at Stellar Communications as a vice president of Visionary Talent, and that's the company that launched the movie The Secret. And I have the great pleasure of working with leaders and visionaries every single day, all day long. And I'm telling you, when you surround yourself by high-frequency people, I mean, it's like you were saying, when you change the way you look at things, the way you look at things changes. And the rapid growth that I'm personally experiencing in that environment is not measurable. And I believe I said this last time I had you on the show, is that we are known by the five people we spend the most time with. We are the sum total of the five people we spend the most time with. And if there are people out there who are spending time with people who don't have what they want, like you really want to look at, do the people you have in your life have a lifestyle that you want for yourself? Do they have love? Do they have happiness? Do they have genuine, authentic joy? Do they have perfect health? Do they have, you know, financial abundance? And it's those kinds of people that you want to spend the most time with, while not turning away from the others by any means. And it would just behoove us all to pay attention to those five people we do spend the most time with. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a great observation. I think it's very true. First of all, the Course in Miracles says there are no accidents in salvation. Those who are to meet shall meet. So If you're with somebody, you're there for a reason. Now, that reason could be a forgiveness reason. For example, in connection with what you just said, about 4 or 5 years ago, the main 4 or 5 people that I had in my life were not people who nurtured me. They were people who said very negative things. They had a way of always turning a happy day into an unpleasant situation. And, you know, I could have a very successful day, and then things would be said to me that would, you know, just kind of be meant to bum me out. And then I realized, and this was kind of like a shocking realization, I realized that I was the one who put them there. And I realized that this had been a pattern throughout most of my life, where I had had people in my life who, you know, were not positive people, who seemed dedicated to making everything, you know, not very happy. And when I really got that I was the one who was doing that, and then I changed it. Now, I'm not, you know, these were people who I was both living with and working with in different situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not with any of those people today.
Mm-hmm.
I've completely changed everything from, you know, my marriage to a booking agent to a publisher to, you know, different people in business, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that to put anybody down, because the irony of the whole situation is that my former wife and I today are better friends than we've ever been.
I understand that. I had a better divorce with my ex-husband than I did a marriage.
Yeah, I can understand that. And,
it's amazing. You know, he feels more like a brother to me than anything. It's just, you know, I married my best friend, and it was just meant to be friendship. So, but that's a beautiful thing, Gary, to model for people, because oftentimes, as we all know, when someone's been married to someone, there's no friendship, there's no anything, there's just adios amigo, I never want to see you again. And, you know, we are all human, we are all connected, and there are no accidents. And that person brought us lots of gifts. Lots of gifts. Made us stronger, made us stand up for ourselves, made us see what our flaws were so that we could file off the rough edges to become that polished diamond. And every person who we encounter to some degree is helping us with our evolution.
Yeah, I think that's true. Like, you know, Karen and I, when we, you know, did start to grow in different directions and realized, it was time to go our separate ways. It's like her life started to become more successful. My life started to become more successful. She lives in Hawaii now, and mm-hmm. she loves it. And, you know, she's just really having the best time of her life, I think. And she's really kind of like blossomed and become herself. And the mm-hmm. same thing has happened with me. We were both in Maine, which is seemed like the end of the earth. And, you know, now here I am in Southern California. Here she is in Hawaii. We're best of friends. I just got a birthday card from my mother-in-law. Now, you know, how many guys get a birthday card from their former mother-in-law?
So, that's pretty great.
Yeah, you know, that's how, you know, things can turn out if you practice forgiveness. And in this case, both of us are. In the cases of mm-hmm. some couples, maybe only one of them is practicing forgiveness and the other one may not be very spiritual. But it really only takes one. It's like, you know, it's like the Course says, you know, forgiveness can have undreamed of effects in situations of which you are not even aware.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, as we know, all thought produces form on some level. There's no such thing as an idle thought.
Right.
I mean, you could eat practically anything you want. If you just blessed it before you ate it, because it's going to change the molecules in that food, just as Dr. Emoto demonstrated in The Secret.
The water.
Yeah, with the water, it's like if you bless it, look at it, you know, with loving thoughts, it changes everything at the molecular and subatomic levels.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so if I want to eat a piece of steak or something, you know, maybe some people may not think that's very spiritual, but I happen to like it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I look at that and think about that in a certain way, I know that it's not going to be bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really that way with everything in your life. It's all in the way that you're thinking about it. It's all in the way that you're looking at it. And
mm-hmm.
if you're using what the Course would call right-minded thinking and love and forgiveness, then what you do is also going to be the right thing. It's like my teachers, Arden and Persa, you mentioned these appearances that sparked
mm-hmm.
books. These two ascended masters, Arden and Persa, appear to me in person, and they're the teachers in the books. And I do the best I can to keep up with them. And it's kind of like they said, look, Gary, you know, you don't have to go looking for love if that's where you're coming from.
Mm.
Like, if you're coming from a place of love, then you don't have to worry about whether or not other people love you. All you
mm-hmm.
have to do is love them.
Right.
You know, and, you know, you don't have to go looking for love because that would be almost like you're trying to fulfill some scarcity or something.
Right.
And mm-hmm. The Course would say that a sense of separation from God is the only lack you really need, correct? And if you can undo that one lack, then you would never feel lack. You would only feel abundance. And that abundance would not be dependent on circumstances.
Right.
Because circumstances aren't going to do it anyway. I mean, my parents felt very guilty because they didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've moved out here, I have met billionaires.
Yes.
Who feel very guilty because they have so much money.
Right.
You know, it's like you can't win. You know, people will feel guilty if they don't have any money. People will feel guilty if they have too much money.
Right.
What they need to understand is that neither one is true, and there's no reason to be guilty about either one.
Money is an energy. It's a frequency.
Right.
It's an energy like anything else, and if you have love in your life and you feel guilty for having money, then why not feel guilty for having love?
Exactly.
It's an energy.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, if you're coming from a place of abundance, then you can feel good whether you have money or not. You can feel abundant regardless of the circumstances that seem to be surrounding you. And that's where real happiness and peace come from. It's not dependent on what appears to be going on out on the screen that we call the movie of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's really something that can only come from within and only come from the way that you think about things and look about things. And that,
mm-hmm.
in turn, changes everything. Ultimately, it can even change your experience of what you are, you know, what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
It can shift you from the idea of separation, which is symbolized by the body. And I'm certainly not saying there's anything wrong with bodies and that you shouldn't have normal, you know, relationships with people. I mean, you know, Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a normal relationship. They loved each other. And
mm-hmm.
it just so happened that they were both enlightened and that they were both equal. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, great teachers. But the point is, they had this normal relationship, but at the same time, at one point or another, they would look at each other or think about each other, which is what spiritual sight really is. It's in the way that you think about other people. It's not so much what the body's eyes appear to be showing you. It's just the way you think about other people, and they would eventually think about each other as being what they really are, which is this perfect spirit, which is nothing less than God. It's exactly the same as God, which means it couldn't be limited in any way. The body like kind of represents, as the Course says, a limit on awareness. And what we really are is beyond that. What we actually are is even beyond the universe of time and space, because it can't be limited. It can't be finite in any way. It's something that extends forever. And the more you think about other people as being that way, and I'm not saying, you know, you're not going to also interact with them in a normal way. It's just that at some point you're going to think about them as being what they really are. And, you know, that law of the mind that A Course in Miracles gives us, you know, as you see him, you will see yourself.
Yes.
If you think about them that way long enough, eventually you're going to start to experience yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because your unconscious mind will interpret your thoughts as being about you, not about them, because there's really only one of us. Which means that oneness is a fact, and your unconscious mind, which knows everything, recognizes that. So whatever you're thinking about other people is actually going to you. It just doesn't look that way, which is why it's so important to, you know, train your mind to think along a certain way, to think, you know, kind of like with spiritual sight instead of the idea of separation. And the more you do that, the more you will experience it, and the more you'll experience what you really are, which is spirit.
Mm-hmm. Pure spirit. And,
yeah.
You know, if we all saw each other as that and we recognized the God that we are, I know that nobody would pick up a gun and shoot at God, and God wouldn't pick up a gun to shoot at God. So I believe that our consciousness is being raised to the level and the frequency of giving us an ability to start entertaining that idea of the God that we are. And the more people who recognize that, recognize that about themselves, then will be modeling that for others, and generations are shifting. I happen to know personally many, many people who have been the one person in an entire ancestry who has shifted a behavior for generations to come. It's like the end of child abuse, the end of alcoholism, the end of drug addiction, the end of verbal abuse, the end of you name it, fill in the blank. And each one of us has the potential to ignite consciousness in the hearts of the world, each one of us. And if each one of us would remember that about ourselves for 15 minutes, even once in our life, it would be a different world tomorrow.
Yeah, because everything is just so dependent on the way that we think and the way that we look at things. And at first, when you start, you know, thinking along a spiritual path, there's a lot of resistance to it because your ego is afraid of the end of its existence. And so there's a lot of resistance. For example, the idea that the world is an illusion, which is talked about a great deal in the movie Leap. Some people, when they first hear that idea, they have a lot of resistance to it. They'll say things, well, gee, you know, what if people go around looking at the world as an illusion? Wouldn't that be, you know, kind of like an invitation to act irresponsibly, you know, and to think you could do anything that you wanted to and that it wouldn't make any difference or have any consequences.
Yeah.
And my answer to that is that, well, you may be right if people stopped there, which is why they have to take that extra step. You know, they have to look beyond that and say, okay, what I'm seeing is not true. What I'm seeing is an illusion. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to think about these people as being what they really are and see them with love and forgiveness. Then I'm going to start to experience myself that way. Now, if you do that, if you start coming from a place of love, you know, as A Course in Miracles says, teach only love, for that is what you are. If you start coming from a place like that and you're living from love and everything that you do in your life is an expression of love, then you're not going to be doing irresponsible things. You're not going to be hurting anybody. It's like you said, nobody's going to pick up a gun and shoot God. You know, if you're coming from that kind of a place where you're seeing everybody as spirit, then what you do will be naturally right. What you do will be naturally guided by the Holy Spirit, and you'll be doing the right things. I'm not saying you'll never make a mistake, but if you do, it's for forgiveness, and there's a consistent way of looking at everything. So, you know, it's kind of like what you do isn't as important as, you know, where you're coming from. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I said before, you know, I know peace activists who hate people.
I know, the irony is amazing.
Yeah, it's really about getting their political opponents, you know, and when you do that, you're putting yourself in a position of conflict.
Right.
Now, you could be doing the same thing. You could be against the war, but you could be doing it as an expression of love. You could be doing it in such a way that you're extending your love into the illusion, into the dream, as a reflection of what you are. And mm-hmm. if you're doing that, then, you know, you're not going to be throwing rocks at anybody or, you know, kind of like saying terrible things about people. What you're going to be doing is expressing love. And,
right.
Of Course in Miracles says there's only two things that people can do anyway. They're either expressing love, which is what I was just talking about, or, you know, people who don't know how to express love. You know, you see these people on your TV screen who are pretty disturbed and they're killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't really understand that what they're doing is they're calling out for love.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't know how to do it right, but that's what they're mm-hmm. really doing. They're actually calling out
yeah.
for help.
Yeah.
They're calling out for love. And that makes it very easy for us in a spiritual position, because if somebody is expressing love, well, what would be a proper response from us? It would be love. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's easy. The harder yeah. part, which we can learn how to do, is that if somebody's calling out for love, you know, and they're acting out in a strange way or something,
mm-hmm.
You know, what would be the proper response from us if they're calling out for love? Well, it would be love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there you see the consistency of the Holy Spirit's thought system. It's like no matter what happens in the world, no matter what appears to be going on, the proper response from us would be love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and,
sometimes love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes tough love is in order.
Yeah.
But that's still love.
Right, and, you know, forgiveness is called for in any circumstance, but that doesn't mean that you don't do the normal thing. That's why I mentioned earlier that you live a normal life and you do the normal
mm-hmm.
things. For example, if you know that somebody next door is abusing a child,
yeah.
then coming from a place of love doesn't mean that you don't call the authorities.
Absolutely.
You know, you can be coming from a place of love, but you can still call the authorities, report that person, and do whatever is appropriate to protect that child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it doesn't mean that you don't do those kinds of normal things. If somebody is doing something to you that isn't right, coming from a place of love doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't mean that you have to let people abuse you or say things about you that aren't true. You can correct the situation. You can tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it still coming from a place of love. So
yes.
you can end up being more effective in the world than you were before for a couple of reasons. First of all, you'd be able to think more clearly, because
mm-hmm.
if you're coming from a place of love, you're going to be more peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're more peaceful, you can think more clearly, and you have more access to the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit is taking over your mind. And, of course, we know that the word inspired means in spirit.
Yes.
And what would happen is you would have more inspired ideas, and you would actually end up being more effective in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different than the way that people think. You know, people think that you always have to be aggressive, that you always have to be tough, that you always have to, you know, kind of like, you know, be asserting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the more peaceful you are, the better you can think and the more creative you can be. So
mm-hmm.
There's an irony there, and the irony is that sometimes if you give up a little, you might end up getting more.
And I believe another way to say that is being willing to lose a battle to win the war.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great analogy,
mm-hmm.
and you really can end up winning, not because that's what's important, but simply because the more that you do this, the more that you look at people with love and forgiveness, the more you are healed by the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you feel less guilty, and if you have less guilt in your mind, you end up enjoying life more,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, but you end up doing better things for yourself, because if you start to get in touch with your innocence, then you're going to start to believe that you deserve good things
mm-hmm.
in your life. It's like I mentioned, there was a lot of times in my life when I put the wrong people there. Well, that's because I didn't think that I deserved to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today I do believe that I deserve to be happy.
I love that you said you put the wrong people there.
Yeah.
I have a sensation to say to you that you put the right people there to help wake you up.
Yeah, that's true. If you use
and,
it the right way, if you use it for forgiveness,
yes.
you know, and love, then it does wake you up. And so,
oh yes, yes. And I was guided to Actually, I don't know if I told you this story before, but when I first came to Los Angeles, I went to the Bodhi Tree Bookstore, which is, everybody knows, is a very spiritual, wonderful landmark bookstore in Los Angeles. And I went there, and I was a single mom, and I barely had enough money to buy a cup of coffee. But I went there to the Bodhi Tree and walked around enjoying their tea and read from, you know, the spiritual books just in the corner in a chair. And then as I was walking out the door, a bookshelf started shaking all by itself. Nothing else in the store was shaking, just this one bookshelf. And from the top of the bookshelf came tumbling down a very thick blue book with the words A Course in Miracles written on the front in gold. And I reached out and I caught that book. When I went to the counter to tell them that the bookshelf had been shaking and, you know, to find out what that was, I looked in my purse, just felt like an urge to look in my purse, and I found $30 in my purse, and I purchased this A Course in Miracles, and the date was January 19th, 1990.
Wow.
And I have gotten so much benefit from this book, and it's in my lap right now. And the fact that your work revolves around A Course in Miracles is very intriguing to me, and you found a way to get it out there for your average person to be able to understand it, assimilate it, and apply it to their lives. And I just want to read a passage here where I was born at 3:33 in the morning, and this is page 333. If you'll indulge me, I'd like to read this passage because you mentioned something about innocence. And I just had opened this to this page before our show tonight. So I'd like to read this. This is your heart. See, you have not lost your innocence. It is for this you yearn. This is your heart's desire. This is the voice you hear. And this the call which cannot be denied. The Holy Child remains with you. His home is yours. Today he gives you his defenselessness, and you accept it in exchange for all the toys of battle you have made. And now the way is open, and the journey has an end in sight at last. Be still an instant, and go home with him, and be at peace a while. I just found that to be so beautiful, and I read it right before the show, and your mention of innocence inspired me to read that. And I'd like to know how you would interpret what I just read.
Well, first, you're right. It's really beautiful. And I love your story about the Bodhi Tree. The very first time I ever came to Hollywood, which is about 5 years ago, I spoke at the Bodhi Tree.
And
I've always liked it there. I may go back there in the fall when my new book is out. And I knew that something was up my first trip when I came here to Hollywood, because a very important number, you mentioned how you were born at 333. A very important number in my life, for some reason, has always been 1101. Yeah, you know, it's so many times in my life. In fact, that was my phone number most of my life, 1101. Now, when I first came to Hollywood, I stayed at the Hyatt on Sunset Strip. And I got my key. I didn't think much. I went to my room, and it just dawned on me that I looked at my room number, and it was 1101. And I thought, something's going on here. You know, there's some connection here with Hollywood. And I didn't know that 2 years later, I would be living here. You know, that's how things work.
Connecting the dots.
Now, as far as the passage that you just read, that corresponds to a very important workbook lesson in A Course in Miracles, which says, I will be still an instant and go home. And to me, that's one of the key lines in that paragraph. And that's something that does help you get in touch with your innocence, because you're still an instant, which means you're shutting off the noise of the world, and you stop reacting to it. If you're reacting to it, you're coming from the ego. But if you're coming from the Holy Spirit, then you can stop reacting. You can be still an instant, and you go home, which is a euphemism for forgiveness, because what you're doing is you're thinking of the Spirit, which is real, instead of the illusion, which is not. And then if you go to that workbook lesson, I'll be still an instant and go home. If you do that, it's a form of forgiveness that helps you to actually get in touch with your innocence. And there's no better experience than getting in touch with your innocence. As soon as you start to suspect that you're innocent, it changes everything. I mean, I actually underwent physiological changes when I was doing the workbook of the Course in Miracles. It's one of the most powerful things that you can do. It's almost like doing Buddhism in a year.
Yeah, it shifts your DNA, definitely.
Yeah, some people, they think that A Course in Miracles is long because it's 1,200 pages long. Buddhism has like 80 volumes of material
mm-hmm.
that you can study. Mm-hmm. So, if people think that the course is long, I just say, try doing all of Buddhism. It would be pretty difficult to even do all 80 of those volumes in one lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But the course is doable. You can do the workbook in a year. Some people take a year and a half. I took almost a year and a half. It doesn't matter. The only rule is you're not supposed to do more than one workbook lesson in one day.
Mm-hmm.
The text, I tell people they shouldn't read the text fast. The text has about, 669 pages or so. I tell them, read 2 pages a day.
Mm-hmm.
Take your time. Try to digest it. And don't rush
mm-hmm.
through it. No rush. There's no hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Time isn't real. And, you'll come across beautiful paragraphs like the one you just read. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they'll jump off the page at you, and it's not going to be the same thing for everybody. I mean, because
mm-hmm.
the truth is simple. The truth is consistent, but the ego is not.
Mm-hmm.
The ego is very complicated. So
mm-hmm.
It's going to be different things that are going to jump off the page at different people. But
mm-hmm.
when you get to a great paragraph like that, you may stay with it for a long time. And
yes.
it may become one of the most important things in your life that you turn to, when you feel, either guided or the need to turn to it, and it'll help bring you peace, and it'll help remind you of the truth. And that's really what we need, is to be reminded of the truth, because the more we're reminded of it, the more we'll remember it when the going gets tough and when the stuff hits the fan and it becomes difficult to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
The more that you've trained yourself to think along these lines, the more likely you are to remember the truth and forgive. And when you get to the point where you can remember under almost any circumstance, then you're really making tremendous spiritual progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the best ways to measure that is simply to ask yourself, am I staying upset as long as I used to?
Yep.
Sometimes, I remember in the past, I could get upset and stay upset for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Now if something, really terrible happens, I might get upset for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
And if you can do it that way, then that's 2 days of your life that you didn't spend suffering.
Yes.
You would have spent suffering if you were upset. So to me, that's a great way to measure your spiritual progress. Are you spending less time being upset and more time being peaceful?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I tell my stepchildren is how they are perceiving their life today will determine whether their memories as adults will be bad ones or good ones, will be ones that will make them feel good or feel bad. And so as they're experiencing things at the age they are now, 9 and 13, I ask them to look at it in such a way that they get to choose how their future memories will be showing up for them as adults. And I'm telling you, Gary, these kids get it. They get it, and their attitude will shift instantaneously, and the smiles will be there, the giggles will be there, and all of a sudden something that was a dark storm turns into a sunny day with rainbows. And it's just that simple. And if you think to help guide the child or even an adult to, is this a memory you want to remember fondly or that you want to remember that triggers you to feel bad? And it is all about choice, and we do have choice. And as you said many times, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at will change. We have that much power.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that you're doing a great service for those children.
Thank you. They're wonderful.
I think that's
all
the way it's
going.
You know, it's like, my book, the first book, The Disappearance of the Universe, I was in Toronto. This is last year. I'm going back this year. There's a
mm-hmm.
professor at the University of Toronto who's translating my first book into Romanian. And
oh, great!
Yeah, the book.
And we have 1 minute left for the Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I told you it would fly by.
Sure, I'll just tell you this quick. The book's in 20 different languages now, but this girl that I met had read the book. Now she's 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's
8 years old.
The universe.
Wow.
And it's her mother that's translating the book, but she read it. She understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl in Mexico in January, 11 years old, same thing. who's read the book understands it. They can talk to me about it. They write me emails about it. They quote from A Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just amazing, and it makes you realize that this is something that is spreading fast. It's something that is going to all different age groups. I see a lot more men at my workshops than I used to. People are getting it. And,
yes.
So I'm very excited about that. And
it's like riding a giant wave.
Yeah, it is. And I think
it is. It truly is. Yes.
I think you and I, Chad and Isaac, we're all playing our part, and it's really a lot of fun.
Oh, it's so much fun, and life was meant to be fun. And I want to thank you, Gary, for being my guest on Spiritual Hollywood again. I just love having you on, and our listeners just adore you. So thank you for making time and for being the person that you are. And I want to thank our listeners for joining us this evening. And remember that the movie Leap, we will have Isaac and Chad on April 7th. And Gary's website is garyrenard.com. That's GaryRenard.com. And remember, the last six letters of attraction are action. So get busy creating the life that you were born to live. And again, thanks, Gary. And thank you, everyone. Good night.
Thanks so much, Kate.